Today we're going to talk about parents of teenage drivers, or advice for parents for teenage drivers. If you're starting to drive now, this is the thing, right? If your first chance of driving is in the winter, that's white knuckle driving. But you got to learn through this kind of weather at some point. And here, get some good safety advice. We have with us David Harkey, president of the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. They, along with the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, are putting together some guides to help you out. But we're going to talk about some of that this morning. David, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good to be here.
All right, let's talk about somebody's now got a new driver and they have to sort of start. What are some of the risk factors or things that parents of new drivers are facing right now?
Well, one of the things that's really important for parents to understand is what is that level of increased risk? And so teens are about four times more likely than drivers that are age 20 and older to be involved in a crash. And so it's critical during these formative years when they're gaining that experience in driving that, you know, we spend time with them and we put them in a safe vehicle and we use as much technology as we can when it comes to helping our teens be safe out on the roadways.
What exactly classifies as a safe vehicle? What do we use as parameters for that?
Yeah, we put out a list with Consumer Reports. We combine our safety results and their predictability and reliability results, and we put those together each year, both a list of used vehicles and new vehicles that we think are really good for teens. And one of the things we want those vehicles to be is affordable, which is somewhat of a challenge now, I know, with the number of vehicle shortages that are out there. But what's critical is that those vehicles have certain safety features, either electronic stability control systems that will prevent you from getting into a rollover collision, or in some of the newer vehicles, having things like automatic emergency braking, lane departure warning, blind spot assist. We know that all of these systems improve safety, and they really improve safety when it comes to teen drivers. And that's what we encourage in our list of vehicles.
David, with the newer tech you just described, about what year did a lot of vehicles bring them into the marketplace?
Yeah, so if you look at some of the newer vehicles, so automatic emergency braking was probably the first of those technologies that started to really appear in around the 2015, 2016 model year. And it's grown rapidly so that, you know, by the time we're in the 2020, 21 model year, it's much more easy to find vehicles that have that technology. Lane departure warning, blind spot assist came along a little later in the model years, but really on a lot of the new vehicles that you're going to go out and purchase today, you can find most of these technologies.
What's the balance between a sports small car and some big car? Some cars may be too big or too small. What's the right size, I guess, in the Goldilocks world for this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things that we do recommend is that you do not put a teen in a really large vehicle, you know, something like a Ford Expedition or a big Chevy Suburban or, you know, something like that, because those vehicles are much harder to handle and control if you're not an experienced driver. The other thing that we recommend is stay away from vehicles that have a lot of horsepower. One of the things that teens often get into trouble with when they're driving is speed. And so you do not want them in a vehicle that has a lot of horsepower that can get them into trouble. And so, you know, and at the same time, stay away from the really small vehicles that are out there. And so the Goldilocks vehicles really, I think, are those anything from can be a small sedan, something like a Honda Civic, or, you know, mid-size SUV, or maybe even a medium-sized SUV like a Ford Explorer. So something in that range is what you want to look for.
You've got two different styles of cars where your vantage point, how high you are up on the road, is different. And sometimes you can get used to driving one style and the other one becomes sort of a whole different technique to you, right?
It really can. And, this is one of the things that's important for all of us to do as parents is if you have two different styles of vehicles available to you, get your teen to practice in both of those vehicles. You know, put as many hours on the road with your teen as you can in all of the vehicle types that you happen to have in your driveway and spend time with them in all kinds of roadway situations. So on surface streets where you may have lots of traffic lights, where you're interacting with bicycles and pedestrians, as well as on freeways, higher speeds, large trucks. You want them to be exposed to as much of the driving environment as possible while you're there in the vehicle with them.
David, is there any new tech out there that really might not benefit teen drivers? The reason I ask is I'm thinking about, we hear more and more about self-driving cars or so-called automated cars. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're still a ways from having truly self-driving cars, but we certainly have a lot of vehicles out there now on the roadway that have what we call partial automation that will, for short periods of time, control both the steering of the vehicle and the acceleration and braking of the vehicle. And I think it's important for teens, perhaps when they're starting out to drive, you do not allow them to turn those systems on and use them right away. And one of the things that's really important, whether you're a teen or whether you're an adult, is you need to understand that those are driver assistance systems, not driver replacement systems. And you have to be ready to take control of that vehicle at all times. And that's one of the things that we often see in news stories where someone has made that mistake of thinking this truly is a self-driving vehicle and I don't have to pay attention.
No, you got to pay attention even when you're the passenger in a vehicle for the most part. David Harkey joining us, president of Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. Talk about some of these downloadable guides you've got available to help parents in kind of choosing the right vehicle as well as sort of getting their child ready for the road.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about the vehicle one. And so, there's more information that's out there on that on our website at IIHS.org. The other two guides are really about how do you work with your teen to put rules and restrictions in place? How do you communicate with them? We even have a contract. That's part of that resource that you can sign with your teen. Requires them to make sure they're wearing their seatbelt, make sure they're not playing the radio too loudly, make sure that they are obeying all of the traffic laws. But there's also a part of that contract that engages you as a parent, that you will agree to spend time with them driving on the roadway. You will agree to obey all the traffic laws. After all, we are role models. And then the other one that's in there is about embracing technology. And so making sure your teen understands the technology that is in the vehicle, when to use it, when not to use it, as well as some of the technology that is available outside of the vehicle. Some of the technologies now from some of the automakers will allow you to do things as a parent, such as control the speed of that vehicle, control the level of the radio volume. And so there are things that you can do as a parent through technology that will keep your teen safe.
That's a different kind of driver assist, wouldn't you say, I guess, for something like that?
Yes.
Again, IIHS.org is the place to get all the different things we talked about today. David, we appreciate your time and getting some folks out on the road safely today. Thank you.